What a strange year we have had. And I thought I would share my report in kind of three stages. So we'll do before coronavirus, what happened at the beginning of the year, January onwards, just briefly. Then we'll have a little break, and Penny's going to bring you up to date with some of our family news, because everyone always asks, and someone already has asked at the start of the Zoom meeting, how's the family? So Penny's going to bring you up to date with that and tell you a little bit about what she's doing. Then we'll do after coronavirus, or during coronavirus might be better, tell you what's been going on the last few months, and then we'll finish off with just a little epilogue. So before coronavirus kicked in, life was good, wasn't it? Do you remember when you could mix together and you didn't need a mask and you didn't have to use a ton of hand sanitizer? I imagine we're all going to get dermatitis in about 6 months' time, or some other problem due to the amount of hand cleanser we're using. But it was great as usual to do holiday clubs. I normally do one or two, sometimes three holiday clubs a year. And it could be 25 plus years I've been doing a holiday club for Swanfield Chapel, Chichester. Now, some of you are thinking, surely you're not that old. You weren't doing them when you were five or six. Well, the joy of having a baby face. But one of the first things I ever did when I came into the area was run a holiday club at Swanfield Chapel, Chichester, just over the border from Hampshire, but about 40 minutes up the motorway. And we've had huge numbers in the past, right up to 100 plus. At the moment, we kind of average about 60. And this year, we had a good time. Now, if you're listening on the phone line, you're just going to hear the music in a moment and not see the video. So you'll have 3 minutes just to hum to yourself, or pop to the loo, or put the kettle on, and then hopefully when you come back. But I could tell you about the holiday club, but they say a picture paints a thousand words, so it's easier sometimes just to enjoy some photographs. So Swanfield Chapel, February half term, this is what we got up to. Our fun theme was backpackers, going touring really, and each day we had a country we went to. Paris, Stockholm, Italy, Rome, the Swiss Alps, and London. So we had a daily theme, and then we linked all of those to the gospel story. And I won't go into great details, but there was a great gospel content, and this is what happened. It's a great privilege when you've got a room full of children. And although we have crafts, although we have silly games and we have competitions, we have lots of Bible-based songs, action songs and more spiritual type of songs. Each day we will have a Bible message. Each day we will have a video Bible story. We also have a daily memory verse. The kids go home with a thin sheet with puzzles and questions about the story and the video. So we give them a good soaking in the gospel. So although there's lots of fun, there's lots of enjoyment, there's also a lot of good biblical content. And we've seen a number of these kids over the years come to faith. And you know you're getting old when some of the youngsters are actually helpers nowadays. And going on. So it's great opportunity, and that was good to work again in Chichester at Swanfield Chapel. Now I go into a number of schools. In fact, last year I was invited in once a week into one of my local schools, and a great opportunity to speak to 450 kids every Tuesday, or they moved it to Wednesday, and share something of the gospel. But you're limited. You never quite know how long you've got because of how many notices there are or what's gone on in the school that day. So what's I'm promised a 20-minute assembly can often just be 8 minutes or 10 minutes. Sometimes I get the full 20. But again, you can tell a Bible story, you can make an application, but you're limited in what you can share. Easter time and Christmas time are much better because you go to the heart of the Christian message and explain the cross and why we believe Jesus rose, etc. But in a holiday club, of course, you've got children for 2 hours. And so during that time, you've got the liberty to talk about whatever content you want. And so they're great opportunities for sharing the gospel, but they're also great opportunity for the local church because members come together. They're working, they're serving together, they're using their gifts, they're praying together, they're expectant. And when you see a room full of children and when you see parents queuing up to come into the building and queuing up to pick up their children, it makes you realise that the place is alive, things are happening. So I love to do holiday clubs, and it was great in February to do the holiday club for Swanfield Chapel. One of the other things I've been involved in is Key to Life. Counties have three resources: Jesus Live, which we had earlier on in the year, October time in the secondary schools; the Life exhibition, which again we had earlier on in the year before Christmas, or last year I suppose it is, but this time we had Key to Life, and we had it in February. And again, it is a great resource. You drive it into a primary or a junior school, you set it up on the playground, and it is a multimedia tool sharing the gospel. So you don't have to put a coach on or minibuses to get the kids to your venue because you're in their school. And we had a great time with Key to Life. We had four schools booked, but it was just before the government clamped down and closed the schools due to COVID. So we were only allowed into three of the four. Just as we were due to go in the fourth one, Boris and co said, sorry, schools will not be meeting. And so we were cancelled. We don't know what Key to Life is. The children come in, they sit on the floor, we welcome them, and there are three projectors. So the whole room lights up. What happens on one wall mirrors on other walls. The walls are super sensitive so that if the children touch the walls, things come alive. And again, for these question boxes, you can talk about the miracles of Jesus. They would come up and press a question mark and it would flip over like a PowerPoint, water into wine, and you've got a couple of minutes to talk on that miracle of Jesus, Lazarus being raised from the dead. So again, great biblical content, interactive. The kids are so keen to come up and to touch the walls and see things move. And again, Bible stories, the story of the prodigal son, as they touch the boxes and can they get the right order? And you go through the story with them and then you explain why Jesus told it. So great opportunities with the Key to Life resource. Good to have a good team of workers. I had, as you can see there, Penny on my side, helping me out. And I do enjoy working with Penny. We have a problem in that we both like to talk, so we have long lessons. But good opportunities to work with Penny. These are two of my helpers without whom Key to Life wouldn't have happened. On the right is Neil. He's a full-time evangelist in Southampton. And Neil came on board and helped with Key to Life. And so we took it in turns presenting it. He's a real gifted guy. I think I may have recommended him to John as a speaker. But Neil Maddox, a great guy. And on the left is one of my Mr. Dependables, Alan Pickard, who's tuned in tonight. And Alan comes and helps with the setting up. Again, without whom we would really struggle. Because my motto is, if it won't go, force it. Whereas Alan will say, no, stand back. You don't push it, you pull it. And he just explains the obvious and we get it sorted. But Key to Life helped to reach 30 children per class. And we were there for 7 days. So you could, and we had 4 or 5 classes per day. So you can see the amount of children that will have gone through that unit and heard something of the gospel. And what do the teachers think? Let me read you a quote. We have a visitor's book and the teachers can put their comments. And I just photographed one page from that book. And out of the many comments, here was my favourite. A year 5 teacher said, wow, what a fantastic facility. The children were hooked. Clear, interesting and relevant to the age and are relevant to the age group and our topic within RE. Thank you. And again, other teachers commenting on how it complements the RE syllabus on the person of Jesus and explains concepts that the children don't get unless a Christian explains them. A teacher can talk about the cross, but if they haven't got a faith, they don't know the purpose of the cross and the meaning behind it. So on Key to Life, we get the opportunities to do that. So that happened again just before lockdown. It was the very last thing we did before everything went on hold. And good opportunities. We are hoping to have Key to Life in 2021. I have it booked for February and I've got an agreement with the organiser of Key to Life that if someone pulls out or when he's got his diary a little bit more sorted, we'll have it either in June or maybe October time later on in the year. But of course, this is all God willing. But it's such a great resource and it only takes 2 or 3 people to work on it. I like the other exhibitions, but you need a bigger team. And with just one person to set up and one person to present, off you go. So Key to Life has been a fantastic eye-opener for me because it's been around for a few years, but I've never used it. But I'll certainly be using it, God willing, in 2021, in February, and later on in the year. So that really was before lockdown, just a couple of the things we were involved in. Now I'm going to ask my wife to do a superwoman act and to run from the back room into my office and right. She's going to take over.
I made it. I had to turn the lights on, it was a bit dark. good evening everybody, it's so lovely to see you all. Where's Jessica and Barry? I can't see them. There they are, over there. So it's lovely, lovely to see you all. Thank you so much for all your prayers for us as a family. It is one of the great privileges of being part of Counties, I think, that we have so many people praying for us regularly. So have you shown them? Oh, I think Gordon's just going to put some slides up just to remind me. And I've been given a 5-minute time limit, which will be interesting. Just quickly, I've been able to keep going with Noah's Ark by doing it on Facebook once a week during lockdown, just for 20 minutes, just a way to keep in contact with the families. And we've sort of extended our reach. We've had lots of contact with people who used to come to Noah's Ark in different countries and students and people who've just said thank you, it's been lovely to see you and keep that contact going. I've also been able to continue my work with the Resources Committee for Counties via Zoom, so the Key to Life that Gordon's just been talking about, Jesus Life and the Life exhibition. So it's been great to still to talk through the issues with that, but obviously they're all out of commission at the moment because of the situation. So it's looking at the future of those and what's going to happen next. And I've also been doing an awful lot of talking on the telephone and texting and writing letters and some socially distanced meetups and Bible studies. So I've been able to keep pretty busy. It's been lovely to have Kathy and Arlo home as well and spend some proper time with them. I asked Kathy when I took her back to university last week what was the highlight of her lockdown experience, and she said playing board games and laughing a lot. So obviously some of that time was well spent. Kathy, as I've just said, oh yes, move on, thank you, is has gone back to Bristol for her second year of occupational therapy studies at UWE. She's moved into a house with three other Christian girls, which after last year's experience is just a real joy to see how happy she is. They are building up their little family. They are establishing routines in terms of praying together and having Bible studies, and they're doing a good job of looking after each other at the moment. They have three of them in the house at the moment. They're waiting for Nicole, who's a Spanish girl who's just recovering from COVID. She's not allowed back into the country until the 13th, so she'll come and join them then. Appreciate your prayers for Kathy in that house, that it will be a blessing to them and to the people they invite into it as well. For her course, it's been severely disrupted, particularly in terms of placement. She's got to find hours to make up for her experience, and that might have to happen, will probably have to happen in the holiday times. So figuring that out is going to be tricky. She's also very involved in the Christian Union and is really loving that, and is particularly involved with welcoming the freshers in the next few weeks, but obviously doing that online and keeping with the COVID restrictions, which is an interesting remit for them all. But I think they're enjoying it, and I'm sure they'll be blessed by it, and that they will bless those youngsters, other youngsters coming in as well. Arlo is starting back, or has started back on the same day actually, on the 1st of September, back to college, his second year of A-level studies. Again, severely disrupted, as you can imagine, but he's coped pretty well with that. He's a people person, so being away from all his friends has been a quite a struggle for him, and he has just relished getting back in to college and spending time with all those guys that he gets on so well with. He's getting involved in the Christian Union at that college too, and they've had some great responses from all their first years online, and because he seems to know so many of them, because I suppose of our contact in the areas, that he knows a lot of them and is encouraging them to get involved. So pray for him too. He's not an upfront person. He very much likes to play as part of the team. So I just pray for him that he knows what he should be doing and how he should be doing it, and that he'll be encouraged by the time and effort he puts into working with those other young people as well. So I think the only things to pray for him particularly are that the disruption to the course doesn't affect his results too badly. And particularly he's looking right now, this week, at universities. We're having to do virtual open days, which is interesting, but saves an awful lot of petrol and time. And just trying to choose the right university for him to go and do further studies at. He's pretty sure about what courses he wants to do. He's desperate to be involved in conservation of some kind. So we'd appreciate your prayers for them both. Thank you so much for all the prayers you've put in so far, and please continue to pray for them. Thank you.
I'm glad to see you're still there. When you share a screen, you can't see the little boxes. All you see is your PowerPoint, so you never know if anyone has gone off or disappeared, and if you're talking to yourself. So that's why I'm zooming in and out every so often, just to make sure no one goes without permission, otherwise John will be after you. So as we've said, before lockdown we were busy. As well as the activities I mentioned, there are the regular weekly stuff. We go into schools. Once a month I go into a local care home and take a service. We run the net, we run bodybuilders, youth events. So we've always got things going on. But of course, all that died due to COVID-19. And it was a strange period, and it's still a strange period. But let me put the screen back on, and we'll pick up the baton as to what happens since COVID. For many Christian workers and organisations, it is a bizarre time, especially when our work is amongst people, and my work is amongst groups of people. Penny is the kind of one-to-one person, but I like to run activities and events and share the gospel that way. So as a man of faith, I put the word after coronavirus, Technically, it should still be during coronavirus, but once coronavirus hit, cancel, cancel, cancel. All the bookings we had, all cancelled. Even this past couple of weeks, the phone still goes saying we're still not back in our building and we're not doing a Zoom call on a Sunday night or a Sunday morning, so would you mind not coming? So I say, yeah, obviously, because if you're not there, there's no point me coming. So our kind of prayer diary really changes. I put a prayer diary on my website, and every week I'm changing it for those who are cancelling. And you can understand why. It's not a criticism. It's just common sense. If folks aren't ready and their people aren't ready, then you can't do anything. The big disappointment over the past few months was that the big three events that have been cancelled. One, Easter time. Easter time, we always do a holiday club at Duncan Road. That was cancelled. And you saw the video of a similar one at Swanfield Chapel earlier on in the year. So we lost one holiday club. Good News Camp. For a number of years, we've run a youth camp for those 18 to 15. And last year, we had a tremendous camp. It was almost a full camp. We had loads of first-time campers and a number of first-time leaders, which meant you assume they were going to come back for next year and the year after and the year after. And of course, this year, we just had to cancel it. Two reasons. One, the campsite didn't open, so there was nowhere to take them. But two, it would have just been impossible to do the social distancing around meals and sleeping. So the Lord knows, it's all in his hands, and we hope, God willing, this time next year we'll have done Good News Camp again. And as well as Good News Camp, the last couple of years I've been involved in activity days or sailing camps just down the road in Chichester Harbour with Christian Youth Enterprises. And again, all that has been on hold. They've been out of action mainly for most of August. So only the last 2 weeks they've been able to open up. And they've got their first school group that started today, CYE. And financially, they still had to pay their insurance and overheads. So for them, it's been a huge loss. But we praise God that they're open. And again, Christian Youth Enterprises, CYE, just up the road, do a fantastic work of sharing the gospel with young people. So we lost the holiday club, we lost summer camps. And for the last couple of years, in October, November, I've gone to Moldova for a 10-day mission. And I've just found out recently that that's been cancelled for this year. One, because they can't do the training. And then two, because it's all home-based. We have meetings in homes, maybe 10, 12 people squeezed into a small home. And we share the gospel via a translator in that situation. But again, would people come in the present situation? Probably not. It has been postponed and they're hoping to do it in the spring. Whether we can sort out the dates or not, where everyone's available, we wait and see. So for your prayers, just value for wisdom. Moldova, I go out to Moldova with a mission called the Moldovan Mission. And there's an Irishman who heads it up called Mark McCormack. And Mark has to make the arrangements, and great guy. The Moldovan Mission supports a number of pastors in that country, and they do a tremendous work and have seen tremendous growth. 3 years ago, I did my first mission. This would have been my fourth year, my first mission. And we joined a church there. And as a result of that mission, another church in a nearby village has been planted through the folks who came to faith. So God is at work in a tremendous way in Moldova. It is wide open at the moment spiritually. The danger, of course, is not only is it wide open to Christians, it's wide open to Jehovah Witnesses. And the big problem over there is Seventh-day Adventists, who kind of look Christian, and sometimes they're confused for being Christian, but they have gone with the teachings of Prophetess Ellen White over the last 20 or so years and gone heretical and denied salvation by faith in Christ alone, and the work of the cross isn't enough to save you. So they're teaching heresies out there as well. And most of the towns or the villages we went to, often nearby the churches, there was a huge Seventh-day Adventist church, and their buildings dwarf everyone else's, so you can't miss them. So that's the problem. But the people are spiritually hungry. If you know anything about Moldova, for 50 years they were under communist rule. When the communists left, Although they've got a religious background, they believe in God, the people, they have a concept of the Trinity and a belief in Jesus, they don't know the gospel. So it's good for us in that situation to go and to work with local Christians and to share the gospel in that local context. So cancelled, 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 which is kind of heartbreaking, really, because those are kind of highlights of our year. The flip side, of course, is what we're doing tonight online and through Zoom calls. Most Sundays I do at least one, if not two, Zoom meetings. Although now I'm glad to say I'm back in the building in one or two churches. So we're able to do one or two live sermons as well. What does it go out on Zoom? Or sometimes it's Zoom and it's recorded anyway and it goes out on YouTube. And again, a bit like some of your own fellowships, we're finding that more people actually watch the recorded version than might be in the building. We pick up extras who tune in or who find it or stumble across it online. So Zoom, YouTube and Facebook. Penny mentioned that on a Thursday she's been doing her Noah's Ark, a story, a craft and a song. Just a kind of a 20-minute Noah's Ark version going out on Facebook. And I use an organisation called Sermon Central, which is an American group. And they've been around for many, many years. But I upload all my sermon texts to Sermon Central. It's not visual. It's not audio. It's only the text. And then especially church leaders and pastors, they can go on that site and they're not going to preach your sermon, but they may find an outline or an explanation of a passage, or they may find something helpful in that. And it's just incredible every week to get an update. And it normally says something like, 1,300 people have viewed your sermons, 68 countries reached. And it just gives you the statistics of how even a print on a page or print on a screen that would have been filed away in a filing cabinet 20 years ago, but uploaded to a website is a blessing to someone else. And again, at least once a week, I get an email request from somewhere in the world, often South America, often America itself or India, asking for PowerPoint slides. And again, it's not unusual to hear people say, oh, we found your sermon on YouTube and we're showing it to our church this week. Can we have the PowerPoints or the sermon notes? So technology is a friend. Sometimes it could be an enemy, but on these occasions, it's a friend. And so online has been a tremendous boost for sharing the gospel in different ways. And of course, through counties as a whole, counties as an organisation, every day are putting out video talks and Thought for the Days. And our friend up in Cumbria, who I've forgotten about at the moment, Matt, he has a kind of a Christian version of the Samaritans. You know, the Samaritans where you phone up if you've got a problem and there's someone you could talk to. Well, him and his wife are in Share Now up in Cumbria. And people log onto the website and they're put through to a trained counsellor and they talk to hundreds of people around the world. So again, technology is our friend, not our enemy. And God is working through those ways and through those means. So online has been a real boost. One of the things I've really enjoyed at the moment is going down to Speaker's Corner. Over the years, I've done this quite a few times. And because I'm often speaking on a Sunday night, I'm unable to go. But if I have a three Sunday night, then I've often popped down to Speaker's Corner at Hyde Park, London, and debated there. Every week, there are hundreds of people who turn up and share the gospel. Now, you may say to me, why go to Hyde Park Speaker's Corner where you can go to Southampton or Fareham and talk to someone? Well, it's not either or. It's a bit of both. But Speaker's Corner is unique. When I was in the Midlands, and Tim knows that we did a lot of work with an evangelist called Bob Telford, who was my mentor. And Bob used to say to us as young people, we need to do something in Stratford-upon-Avon. And we would say, Bob, well, why Stratford-upon-Avon? And Bob would simply answer, because the whole world comes to Stratford-upon-Avon. And because of the great bard, William Shakespeare, of course, people do come from all over the world in their coachloads to watch his plays and learn about him and see where he was born. And so if you get to Stratford-upon-Avon and you do an outreach in Stratford-upon-Avon, you get to reach the whole world. Now, John Knight reminded us at the start that our commission is to go into all the world. Now, physically, that's not possible. But if I go to Hyde Park, I can meet people from all over the world. Jamie Brodie is a county's trainee associate who I took with me on Sunday. And we arrived at Hyde Park about 2 o'clock, and we grabbed a coffee and we sat on a park bench to eat our sandwiches. And I said, Jamie, just look around you. I said, within 20 feet, there are probably 8 different nationalities. And there were. There were Asians, there were Africans, there were Americans, there were Koreans, all sat around us in that fantastic setting. So it's a great place to meet the world, to meet the world. And it's a great place to speak to people who want to hear the gospel. When you go to Fareham and Southampton and you're trying to do a witness and it's a valid and it's a legitimate and a good work, most people aren't interested. They just walk on by. But the moment you go to Speaker's Corner, you've got someone who wants to talk, and not in a hurry. They'll spend 20 minutes, half an hour talking spiritual things to you. It is ironic because I went first of all in mind to speak to Muslims. In the top left hand corner of the picture there are two people, Hutan and Daniel. They are there most weeks. Hutan, the lady, is one of the bravest people I think I know, because she takes on the most verbally violent, and people are right in her face week by week. And she doesn't pull any punches. She's a great warrior, a great soldier for the gospel. And she has been warned by the police that there are death threats made against her. But she was there again on Sunday, not scared, sharing the gospel. And Daniel also goes, and they go for the jugular. They don't pull punches. They say how can I put it tactfully? They explain exactly to the crowd what they think of Muhammad and why. So they produce their sources, normally from Muslim sources, as to why they don't believe in Muhammad or the Quran. And the Muslims get very upset with them. Hence, they get a lot of abuse. Now, that's not my style. I like just to go quietly to watch them stand in the crowd, hopefully stand in the way of someone who might be violent towards them, just to give them some support. But my policy is just to turn to the person next to them and say, well, what did you think of that? Or are you a Muslim? And just get into one-to-one conversation, just like the guy I did at the bottom there, Sahib. And on Sunday, Sahib and his friend, it was great to talk to them. They had a load of questions from the Trinity, the divinity of Jesus. How could God become man? How can God die on a cross? Isn't Muhammad mentioned in the Bible? And when you explain some of these truths to them, it was great, because his friend said twice, that's what it means. I never understood that before. That's what you mean. That's what you believe. And Sahib afterwards asked for my email. He said, do you mind if I email you some questions? I said, no problem. I'll probably be back there next Sunday if you want to meet up. But you've got my email and you can do so. So again, great opportunities to chat. But like I say, when I go to Hyde Park, I've got Muslims in mind, and all my kind of research has been answering their questions. But the very first time I went this year, I've been in previous years, but when I first went a few weeks ago, a white guy called Andy pulled up alongside me and started to talk to me. And I said to him, Andy, are you a Christian? And he paused and he said, well, I am a Christian, but not a good one. He said, I should have been breaking bread this morning, but I didn't go. Now, of course, being from a Brethren background, those words are like a magnet to me. So I said, breaking bread. I said, you're from a Brethren background, aren't you? Brethren Church. And his eyes lit up. He said, how did you know? I said, you gave yourself away by saying you broke bread, or should have been. I said, I'm from a Brethren type church. And so straight away, the Lord took me to the one person perhaps who he needed to speak to. He didn't pray a prayer of recommitment, but it was good to talk to him and encourage him and share something of the Lord with him. So when I go to Hyde Park, it's there to talk to individuals. I can, like Jamie there in the bottom left-hand corner, you find someone who wants to do a debate. I did warn Jamie, I said, if you do a debate today, it'll be filmed and you'll be on YouTube tonight. And lo and behold, he was filmed and he's on YouTube. And the problem with that is, these are experienced guys. They're week after week after week. And people like me and Jamie are L plates. We're learners. and we don't know all the tricks. And Jamie did very well because he knows the Bible, he knows the Lord. But the more experienced person was able just to interrupt him all the time and never let him fully answer and then move on to the next question. And it's just one of the tricks that people use. You give all your information to the camera, and then when your opponent starts, you cut them short by interrupting and saying, "Ah, but what about?" And so they always look like they can't answer the question because you've moved on. But Jamie did well, and full marks for him going in at the deep end. So Speaker's Corner is a great opportunity to share the gospel. I put this as my final PowerPoint talk before I just share a little thought with you. DV. For years, we used to laugh at kind of the person who gave out the notices, who always in my home church in Coventry would always at the end of the meeting and say, "Of course, all these meetings are DV, which stands for Deo Volente, Deo Volente." And John reminded us it stands for God willing. And never has that been more true than the times we are in, that everything we do is God willing. And so that's some of the things we've been up to before COVID and during COVID. We're planning out for next year as if it was normal. We hope we will be back to normal, but we don't know what will go ahead, what will be cancelled, or what new areas of work will open up. Maybe some things we'll have to let go and some things we'll have to start again. Now, you've been very patient so far. I've still got about 10 minutes or so to do a little epilogue. So if you don't mind, I'm going to put you back on share my screen. And I'm not going to do anything heavy, but I just want to share something from the Word of God just as we finish. If you have a Bible, it's going to be in Luke chapter 2, and it's going to be some very well-known words. Luke chapter 2. And I hummed and hawed as to whether I should share this with you, because it's the Christmas story. And we're in September, not December. But I noticed that Ollie Campbell was on earlier and Tim Pawson, and they've both been on Good News Camp. And they'll know on Good News Camp that I quite often will preach on the wise men or the shepherds or Mary. Not because I'm out of season, because the New Testament doesn't have them in a season. And if we're going through the Gospel of Matthew or we're going through the Gospel of Luke, I like to start with something that the teenagers or the children are familiar with. And what better than to say to them, open up your Luke's Gospel, let's read the Christmas story, and then teach them from that. So straight away, you don't have to fill in too many blanks because they know the story. The road is already prepared for the preacher to communicate his truth on. So I often preach these things out of season. But sadly, for some reason, we follow church tradition and we only read the Christmas story in season. But I want to ask the question, what makes good news? What makes good news? I was always under the impression that the word news was an acrostic. North, east, west and south. North, east, west and south. And so news really covered everywhere. But I googled the word news to try and find out what its origin was. And the experts tell me it goes back to the 14th century. The English word news comes from the word new. What's the new information that people are sharing? And of course, in the plural, it's news. So it's not as interesting as north, east, west or south. It's just the word new. What have you got that is new that you want to share with people? If you're a journalist and you're writing a magazine, they say this is what makes good news. There are five things. First of all, something needs to be unusual. If it's going to be good news, it should be unusual. For example, dog bites man is not unusual. It happens all the time. But if it was reversed, man bites dogs, suddenly you've got an interesting story. Who is this nutcase who's going around biting dogs? Lock him up, sort him out. So what makes good news? Something that is unusual. Something that's unusual. Secondly, what makes good news? Something that is vital. Something that is vital. See, if I told you during my talk tonight, I started a diet yesterday, chances are most of you wouldn't be interested. Some of you might be rude and say about time. But if I said I started a diet yesterday, so what? If I said to you I started chemotherapy yesterday, you would be very interested. Because that is vital news. Vital news. And so what makes good news? What makes real news? Something that's unusual. Something that is vital. Journalists say the third key quality to good news is something that is prominent. Something that is prominent. If the Prime Minister breaks his leg, that is news. If I break a leg, people will say, be more careful. Look where you're going. You shouldn't be doing that at your age. But because it's the Prime Minister, it is prominent. It is prominent. And then fourthly, if it's to be good news, it should be personal. Personal. Now, if the government put a penny on tax, all of us are involved. If they just tax the rich people in the world, I guess from the screens, only John Knight would be affected. Wouldn't affect the rest of us. But if it's personal, it involves us. And then the fifth key quality that makes good news, is it timely? Is it timely? There's a saying, isn't there? Yesterday's newspaper is only good for fish and chips. Yesterday's newspaper is only good for fish and chips. Is it timely? Is it up to date? Does it make a difference? What makes good news? Well, I'm going to read some verses from Luke 2. In fact, I'm not. I'm going to let the video read them. It's word for word, the NIV Bible. So if you're listening on the telephone, you won't get the pictures, but you will hear someone read the verses far clearer and better than I can. But Luke chapter 2, the story of the shepherds.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
I think I've been thinking about the Christmas story because my one ploy when I went to Hyde Park Speaker's Corner on Sunday was this. Everyone I talk to and people approach me because a lot of the Muslims there, they see a white person. They look for the chance to convert an English person, a white English person. You know what I mean by that. And so I stand there and people come up to me and I said, "Look, I will talk to you. But here's the question I want you to answer. Why did Jesus die on a cross?" And of course, the reply straight away is he didn't die. Somebody took his place. And then I would counter that by saying, "Well, who took his place?" And they would quote the verse from the Quran. And so basically, I want to talk about the cross and the death of Jesus. That is the heart of Christianity. The Apostle Paul said, first things, the most important, Christ died according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. If there is no death, there is no resurrection. So the heart of Christianity, why did Jesus die? And I think to everyone I spoke to, I said, "Look, even the very name prepared Jesus for the cross. What does the name Jesus mean? Or Yeshua, in English, Joshua. It means saviour, rescuer. That's why he came, not to deliver a message alone, but to give his life a ransom for many." So the very name Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua, means saviour, rescuer. And so perhaps that's what put this Christmas story in my head. But let's ask those same 5 points about what makes good news. First of all, according to a journalist, good news should be unusual. Unusual. And I think encountering an angelic being can be classed as unusual, don't you? Have you ever seen an angel? Yeah, me neither. Although I was preaching in a church once and I said that during a Christmas talk, and a lady got me at the door afterwards and said, I've seen angels. But I think she was a little bit batty. We haven't seen angels. We may have encountered them unaware. And I think there's been one or two times in my life where I would say I've encountered an angel. I've encountered someone mysteriously unaware who was the right help at the right time. Now, it may have just been a good person. It may have been someone God sent along. Or who knows, maybe it was an angel and I was unaware. But God uses angels as messengers in the Bible. And of course, they appear in this story. And not just one, a whole host of angels. Talk about something that is unusual. Let me say this though, if ever you encounter an angel, you will know, not because of just the bright light, but because of their first words. I can almost guarantee they will say to you, do not be afraid. Seems to be standard angel talk when they encounter human beings. But verse 13 says, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared. And they said, glory to God in the highest. I think there's two unusual things about angels. One, the ones we're told about their names, they're all men names. Don't seem to be any female angels. The ones that all seem to have men names. And secondly, I don't know if you've ever noticed that angels don't sing. Even in this story, they said, glory to God in the highest. Angels speak, but they don't sing. I think it was Leonard Ravenhill who said that only the redeemed have got a song to sing. And that's why we sing, but angels speak. But here's something unusual. Angelic beings come and deliver the news of a saviour who will be born. How about the second instant? Is it vital? Is it vital? Well, verse 10 said yes. In the town of David, a saviour has been born. A saviour has been born. You only need a saviour if you are in danger. The Coast Guard, the lifeguards, they only go out to rescue someone when that person is in trouble. And if God sent a saviour, that reminds us afresh that this world is lost. This world will perish unless people respond to the saviour. But how can they believe unless they are told? How will they know about that saviour unless all of us play our part? You know, you and I are still God's plan A to reach his world. There is no plan B. I remember being in a conference and hearing George Verwer say that, and it shook me. We are plan A. There is no plan B. If we don't go, if we don't speak to our family, our work colleagues, our neighbours, to those further afield in the town centres, in Hyde Park, in Stratford upon, they will not hear and they will not be rescued. There's a story told of a Swedish au pair who hadn't quite got a good grasp of English. And she had some very naughty children. And she'd gone out of the room into the kitchen to prepare them some lunch. And when she came back into the room, it looked like World War III had hit that room. There were scattered cushions. There were vases knocked over. There were books on the floor. And not having the proper grasp of English, she said this. Well, she meant to say, what are you doing? What on earth are you doing? Look at the mess. But instead it came out, what are you doing on earth? She got her words muddled. What are you doing on earth? All of us are called to a vital ministry. None of us are passengers. We all have a role to play. There are people that you can speak to that I will never meet, and vice versa. So it is a vital story. What was the next key point? Prominent. Prominent. I love verses 17 to 18. This is the biggest story planet Earth has ever had. Let me read it. Verse 17. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. You don't get better than that. It is amazing. You're not going to believe it. It is mind-blowing. This is the greatest news in the world, and they wanted to share it. And the great thing, of course, about this news is he is a saviour for the world. The world. You see, you ever buy one of those jackets or T-shirts or gloves or scarves, and it has the label in it, one size fits all. Don't have to worry about small or medium or large, because one size fits all. Aren't you glad when it comes to the gospel? One saviour meets all. He meets everyone needs. Whether you're a chap from the middle of England like I am, living in the south, whether you're from Papua New Guinea, whether you're from Ecuador, whether you're from Sweden, whether you're from, it doesn't matter. Whatever your culture, whatever your background, Jesus is relevant for you. He is the saviour of the world for all people everywhere. What was the fourth key thing? Personal. Personal. That's what makes a great story. And in verse 12, we're told this will be a sign to you. So straight away, the message is personal to the shepherds who are listening. And then in verse 10, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Hey, we're all involved. This is news for all of us. Last week, I was preaching on John 3:16 via Zoom. And afterwards, they had a little discussion. And someone did the old classic. Of course, with John 3:16, when you say it, you can miss out the word whoever and insert your name. And they did it. God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, so that if Gordon Curley believes in him, Gordon Curley need not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't know, it's a little bit twee. It's true. And I'll be honest, I often do that when I'm teaching John 3:16 to a group of children. But it's a reminder that the message is personal for each and for everyone. Someone came up with a little ditty that says this: for God so loved the world, not just a few, the wise, the great, the noble and true, or those of favoured class or rank or hue. God loved the world. Do you? Hey, this is a message for individuals, personal, for folk that we need to take it to. So it's a great story. And of course, timely. Timely. Is it relevant? That's what makes a great story. And in verse 11, the angelic being says, today, in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. He is the Christ, or the Messiah, the Lord. Today. And of course, when we come to the Bible, God is the God of the now. He is the God of the past. He is the God of the future. But God deals with us in the now. And especially when it comes to evangelism, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And that ought to give us confidence that whenever we go out with the gospel, it's the right time. Whoever we encounter needs to hear that gospel. Now, we can be wise in how we present it, what to say, what not to say, whether to use words, actions, whether to leave books, DVDs, whether to give an invitation. There are lots of things we need to learn. We can hone and learn how to do evangelism. It reminds me of Roger Carswell. Some of you know the evangelist Roger Carswell. I was at a conference with him recently, and he said that one of his colleagues said to him, you won't believe what happened on Monday when I went back to school. And he'd been with Roger on the Saturday doing some open air evangelism. And Roger said, no, tell me. He said, well, one of the kids said to me, sir, what have you been doing over the weekend? And I said to him, you won't be interested. And the teenager said, no, sir, we are. What were you doing? So again, he said, no, you won't be interested. So again, the teenager said, and there was quite a few of them there, saying, yeah, we want to know, sir, what did you do? So he said, well, on Saturday, I was doing some evangelism. And they said, where did you do that? So he said, well, I did it in the town centre. And I kid you not, one of the children turned around to him and said, sir, next time you do some vandalism, can we come with you? Now, all of us, of course, can do some evangelism, and we can all learn how to do it better. And often we learn by our mistakes. But here's the good news. We can go, and whenever we go, it's the right time to share something of the gospel with those we encounter. And I like the expression that said evangelism is giving bread to a hungry man. And you and I have the bread of life, Jesus Christ. We live in a hungry world. May God give us the desire and the wisdom and the ability and the courage to speak up when we get the opportunities. Thanks ever so much for tuning in, folks. Been a real encouragement, and we appreciate your prayers and your support.